Welcome to Soldiers for Christ. What's the rest of that?
Global Community Church.
I'm getting used to it. Man. Okay. And we have two families visiting, one from Arizona and one from Houston.
Amen.
And then we have Raymond and Precious. I can't call her other name anymore. But I love that name. When we get to heaven, I'm going back to that name. So, and Greg, thank you. It feels good up here. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman. Elohim Tov.
You guys know that? All right, praise God. That's good. So, we are in a great situation right now where we're winding down the time. As you guys are watching what's going on in the world, and you're like, when is Jesus coming? Because things are getting crazy, huh?
Real crazy.
It's like, if even my job, my wife's job was talking about forcing her to take the thing, right? And she's like, nah, it ain't happening. But it's right in front of people. And now they're telling the people that already took it, you need a third. You know what I mean? Like, that was not working fast enough. You need a third one. So I don't know. At some time you think people would just wake up and go, maybe this isn't right, you know? But it's pretty crazy. And now they filed a lawsuit today because they haven't exposed how many deaths there have really been behind it. So they filed a lawsuit for them to openly expose how many, because they're saying this mountain, the people that count, says four times as much as that. So, yeah. So, and anyway, they filed a lawsuit, and they're like, we've got to get these people to at least tell the truth, right? But it's the Psalm of Lies, and it's still going on. I'm going to need somebody to pray me in before we get started. So, Manuel, is it Emmanuel or Manuel? Emmanuel, come pray us in. Yeah. Yeah, no, come up here. Yeah.
Amen. Come on.
All right.
Love it.
All right.
Okay. Let's pray.
Let's pray, brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have together, this short time we have to gather and fellowship and listen to your word. That you forgive us from our sins and protect us from our enemy, and protect us from sickness and keep us healthy.
Yes.
We pray for Pastor Sandy as he presents the message, and we guide him and give him wisdom and to speak from your word. And we thank you for all the people who are gathered here and also the ones watching online. Be able to be fed with your word. We commit to you everything else for protection again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, man. Appreciate it. God bless you. All the way from Houston. H-Town. That's what they call it. Huh? Okay. We're going to start somewhere in the Bible that is a very... I'm going to read all these cards tomorrow morning at Hebrew class. Okay, Pastor Ben? Because this is a lot. And... I don't want to leave anybody out, and this is a good a message. We have to get through this, okay? So the first thing we want to do is we want to look at Psalms 90, verse 10, okay? Because this is the scripture that we are standing on. This is the scripture that makes everything make sense. Because if every time Jesus prophesied, in this generation this is going to happen, and it happened in 70 years, like when he said, this generation shall see this temple destroyed, and every stone shall be turned over. Then it happens in 70 AD, right? Then we look at the word generation in the Greek, and the word means from the birth of or the nativity of. So from Jesus' nativity to 70 years was a generation, which falls in line with the rest of the Bible, because 70 years has always been a generation since Adam, okay? And so if Jesus says 5-6 times in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, when this generation will see this happen, Babylon, they will be in Babylon for 70 years, exactly 70 years. You know, Tyre is going to be judged in 70 years. And if you go back and look at the judgment of Tyre, it was exactly 70 years. And then, of course, you get to the temple and he says, every stone is going to be overturned and it's going to happen in this generation. He doesn't even say 70 years. He says this generation, but it happens in 70 AD, right? So we finally get to the last time that Jesus says this generation, and he says, this generation shall not pass until you see all these things. But what's the all these things he was talking about? He said, till you see World War I, World War II, the middle of the tribulation, and you see me coming back on a cloud in the sky, this generation will not pass until you see all of that. So the end of the generation is seeing Jesus return back to the earth. And so if he's coming back to the earth, and we know that there's a rapture happening 7 years before, we understand that this last generation prophecy that he said, we were all waiting for it in 2017, 2018, because 1948, 2018, it makes sense. And everybody would have like sold the farm, like we're out of here, right? Because Jesus said, this is the last generation, right? So we only have one scripture that says, I'm going to make all of that make sense for you, why it didn't happen in 70 years, okay? Because Israel celebrated their 70th birthday in 2018. And so if the last generation is 70 years, that means that the whole church, everyone should have been gone. But we get this, this scripture in Psalms 90, verse 10. It says, the length of our days are 70 years. But then it says, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is about trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Now, to read that in English, to me, it's kind of throws you off of what the scriptures really say. Because this scripture is speaking to a specific people. It's speaking to a people because it doesn't say, or if by strength, it says, but it says because of their pride and arrogance. Because of their pride and arrogance, it'll be 80 years. Whose pride and arrogance, okay? And but they will have sorrow and trouble, and then we fly away. So he says, it's gonna be 80 because of their pride and arrogance. And they're gonna suffer sorrow and trouble, but then they'll fly away. Then God will come back and he will rescue them. So this extra time that God placed on the nation of Israel is showing us the process of how God is doing things, okay? Because, let's read it first and then we'll get to that part. Now, it says this, the length of our days is 70 years or 80. Then it says, but then it says, because of their pride and arrogance, yet it will be trouble and sorrow. And then it says, for quickly we pass away. Now, if it's speaking directly to Israel, let's read verse 11. It said, who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. This is Israel talking to God, right? Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servant, on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us. Who has God afflicted? Israel. Because of what? Because of their behavior in the past, because of rejecting the Christ, all of these. The Holocaust was an affliction because the Jews stood before Jesus and said what? May the curse be upon us and our children. And so the Holocaust was something that Israel went through. Being kicked out of the land was something that Israel went through. So the people that are talking to him are saying, your anger is as great as your words, right? And so you have to see that Psalms chapter 90, verse 10, and keep reading, it's Israel talking to God about the trouble that they're about to go through, okay? So this now explains why we're still here after 2018, when 70 years has already passed. Because if it's 80, now you've got to show me God doesn't have to show us, but he did by putting a rapture, a tribulation scenario in Psalms chapter 120 through 128. And the tribulation scenario that is going on there is, first they tell you how it's going to start. They tell you what's going to happen in the middle. There's a decree that Jesus is going to return. And then there's a decree that the children of Israel are going to be born. But in the middle of it, it says a flood of water comes out to destroy them, and God protects them from the flood of water. So Psalms 120 through 128 is a complete replica of reading Revelation chapter the book of Revelation, because it's taking you through the tribulation from the beginning to the middle, to the return of Christ, to the birthing of the nation of Israel and them coming back home. All of it is in Psalms chapter 120 through 128. So this extra time that God has allotted falls in line with his scripture, because it will be as it was in the days of Noah. So in the days of Noah, there was a worldwide flood. So if this time is going to be like Noah, that means there has to be something that happens in the world that is a worldwide problem. And the problem was a lie, because Psalms chapter 120 tells you what? Deliver us, and the Hebrew word rapture us away from lies, okay? Because the whole world is under a lie right now, and nobody and like most of the people in the world don't even want to see it as a lie, because television makes it truth, right? So we're in this situation, and now we see that if we stay longer, the body of Christ could be destroyed. But Jesus says that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So taking the bride out and delivering us from evil is what Jesus Christ has promised in the Bible from the very beginning. The church has to leave. It's been prophesied in Psalms chapter 120 through 128, the tribulation. The 70 years are over. So if the 70 years are over and we're not here and Jesus doesn't write the scripture, then that means that the scripture had been broken, because 70 years passed and nothing happened. But if he said, oh, but it's going to be 80, but not because of their strength, because of pride and arrogance. What's the pride and arrogance? They want their own Messiah. They don't want Jesus. So through this time, God is going to purge them, and that's what the cry is in Psalms 90. Let's read it again, because I want you to really get this and understand this, okay? It says here, it says, right after it says 80, but because of pride and arrogance, but it spans in trouble and sorrow, for we quickly pass fly away. Then it says, who knows the power of your anger? This is Israel talking to God. For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord. They're asking God to don't bring your wrath upon us. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing joy and be glad all of our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. And so Israel is still seeing trouble to this very day. So we're living in the last days, but we're living in the last generation prophecy given by Jesus Christ, but now we see the exact timing on it, okay? Now, today's message is called 21 Days of Hope. The 21 Days of Hope expands on the fact that Israel has a fast that is called the beginning of the end. This is the fast of the 17th of Tammuz. The 17th of Tammuz is the day, is the exact day that Moses came down from the mountain and he had the tablets of stone, because they had agreed to marry God, right? He has the tablets of stone and he comes down and they're worshiping a golden calf. And Moses breaks the stones. That happened on the 17th of Tammuz. Then the next thing that happened is what we're going to read now, and that is the book of Numbers, chapter 13. Let's read that. This is really a Bible study tonight, and I don't want to bore you to death, but I want to make sure that you get what I'm telling you, okay? Now, above Numbers chapter 13, I wrote the words 9th of Av, because this event is going to happen on the 9th of Av. How important is the 9th of Av? Both temples get destroyed on the same day. Do you know that? Both temples get destroyed on the same day. It's not like the exact same day, both temples get destroyed. Like if something bad happened on my birthday this year, and then if something bad happened exactly on my birthday, I wouldn't want any more birthdays, you know what I mean? Because with the 9th of Av, that's not the only two bad things that happened to them. When they got kicked out of Spain, it was on the 9th of Av. When Hitler was declared chancellor, it was on the 9th of Av. World War II, 9th of Av. Everything that happens with Israel, it's always been on the 9th of Av, okay? So, even when they got kicked out of Gaza in 2005, and they went in there in the middle of the daytime and took the Jews' homes from them and kicked them out of their homes, that was on the 9th of Av at noontime. So, every time the 9th of Av, Israel is always concerned, so they fast on the 17th of Tammuz, and they fast on the 9th of Av, okay? 21-day difference. How does that play in line with what God is doing? Because remember, these things aren't happening for no reason. God is prophesying to the church and to the world his pattern of how he's doing things. Okay, so let's look at this. I'm in Numbers chapter 13. Okay, let's start at the very top. It said, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one leader. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. These are their names. So now he's giving you the name of each tribe, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Simeon. Now, he gives you a Jewish guy that's ahead of that tribe. But when you get to the tribe of Judah in verse 6, it says the tribe of Judah will be Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now, Jephunneh is not an Israelite, nor is Caleb. So that kind of, you kind of have to ask yourself, what is a Gentile doing being a leader of a Hebrew tribe as they're going to go explore the land that God told them to go explore, right? So Caleb is this Gentile, and he's going to go with the rest of the 12 of the apostles, okay? And I mean, not apostles, the rest of the 12 of the tribes, of the leaders of the tribes of Israel. Then it says Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Manasseh, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Gad. And then you get down to verse 16, and it says, these are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. Now listen close. Moses gave Hosea, the son of Nun, the name Joshua. So he gave Hosea the name Joshua. Because remember, it's Joshua and Caleb that comes back with a good report. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through Negev and on into the hills of the country, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are the trees on it? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season of the first ripe grapes. Now, that's important. Listen what he's telling them. When you go, he says, bring back some of the fruit from the land. If it's not the fruit season, would he tell them to do that? When is the fruit season? Summertime, like right at the end of summertime comes the fruit season. So you get the early fruit around the end of July and in August, okay? So he's telling you, he's letting you know what time of year this whole thing is happening, okay? Let's continue. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob toward Lebo and Hamath. They went up through Negev and came to Hebron. Where now, they come to Hebron. Two things that the church have to be concerned with. Hebron is a word that means friend of or in association with, okay? Now, let's continue going, okay? Where Ammon, Shishaya, and Talmah, the descendants of Anak, lived. Those are giants, okay? Those are Nephilims. They live in that land. The sons of Anak were huge. And it says Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Okay, now, I want you to realize what the Lord is telling you here. I'm going to see what page I can turn to, Pastor Ben. Okay. Let's go to this page right here, I believe. Did you put number, page two, Pastor Ben? Page two, okay? So here you have the name Hebron, and that means fellowship or association, right? It comes from the root word in Hebrew, havar. And then you have 7 years before God rescued the Hebrews or out of Egypt, God built Hebron, okay? So, and he built Hebron in a place called Zaon. Now, what does Zaon mean in the Hebrew? The place of departure, okay? So 7 years, there's a place, 7 years before he rescues Israel, there's a place of departure that leads to Hebron. You understand? So God is, see, this is why I can't listen to people when they're saying, oh, the tribulation is going to be mid-trib. There's so many 7 years examples in the Bible, I can't pretend to be dumb with you to like, just even discuss it, you know? It's like, I want to prove to you that water's not wet. No, you know what I mean? So a 3.5 year tribulation doesn't exist in the Bible. It's a 7 year tribulation. Here God's giving you an example in a story that he's telling you, Hebron. Now Hebron ends up being the land that Caleb inherits. So the Gentiles inherit Hebron, which means in association and friends, okay? Not Jewish, but you're in association and you're friends of the Jewish. But 7 years before he builds, in the city of Zaon, they had already started building, but the Zaon means the place of departure. So the departure happens 7 years before, okay? So this has always been God's plan. But why is he throwing it in the middle of a story, in the middle of summer, at the ninth of Av? Because Jesus says, know that summer is near. These things will happen, but when? Know that summer is near, okay? Here we go. Let's continue reading. Hebron. Okay, Hebron had been built 7 years before Zaon in Egypt. And when they reach the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Okay, so there's some early fruit on the thing. It says, two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. So they've got the early figs and pomegranates. My neighbor, I meant to go over there and say, can I get one of those pomegranates? I got to show people that these things are growing right now, right? In the summertime. So he's telling you this situation is happening in the summertime, okay? Okay, let's continue. It says that the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the clusters of grapes, and the Israelites cut off there. And it says, at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. Okay? The day they come back is the ninth of Av. And now what happens is 10 of the leaders stand up in front of the people and they say, the people want to know, can we go into the land? Can we take the land that God has promised us? Is it a fruitful land? Yes. Is it milk and honey? Yes. Can we go in? 10 of them said, no. Why not? Because the people are way bigger than us. Now, they weren't joking. The Anans were 9 feet tall, okay? The Anaks were nine feet tall. They weren't joking. Some of their beds, they were laying beds that were made for people who are 10 feet tall. These were huge people. But it's God that's telling you can do it. That's a great example. It's God that's telling you can do it. Saw a guy heal a lady the other day. He said, the scripture said, I can heal. He was in the gas station and he laid hands on her and said, I just command that your knees and your ankle be healed and that you stop limping. And the lady got healed in the parking lot. I'm gonna send you the video. The lady, she started crying. She took off the crystal that somebody gave her for, you know, witchcraft crystal. She took that off. She said, I used to go to church and I'm all healed. And she was, but surprised me was that the guy believed God that he could do it. If he didn't think that God was gonna heal her, he wouldn't have start saying, I command you in Jesus' name. But if you believe, God will meet you there, right? Well, these guys didn't believe. These 10 guys says, ain't no way we could take that land, okay? Now, Joshua stands up, and Joshua says what? We can do it. We are more than capable to take this land, no matter how big they are, because God is with us. Then Caleb stands up and says, yes, we can take this land. We're not scared of any giants. We can take this land. So Caleb and Joshua, now Joshua is spoken of in Hebrew as Yeshua. It just means the same thing as Jesus, okay? So, and Caleb in Hebrew means dog, okay? Now, if you don't understand, when Jesus says to when the lady says, can you heal my daughter? And he says what? I'm only here for the children of Israel. He says, and she says, I'm not here. Jesus says, I'm not here. I can't give what belongs to the Israelites to the Calebs. Dog is Caleb's. So she understands the history of Israel. He wasn't calling her a dog, or he was saying that I can't give what belongs to the Israelite to the Calebs. You understand? So Caleb's had always been mentioned as being the Gentiles because they inherited the land of Hebron, which means in association. We're going to get there. You guys have to get this. But I have to set this up because you have to see what's going on in the summertime. Why is the 17th of Tumas and the 9th of Av 21 days apart, Shin, 21, in the 21st year, on the wall in Israel appeared Yad, He, Vav, which is the numerical value 21, right? So here we are, 21 days apart. They fast this day, 21 days till the 9th of Av, and this is the summertime when all this stuff happened, okay? Because I'm trying to let you see, when Jesus said, know that summer is near. They said, well, when is all this going to happen? When is the end going? He said, know that summer is near. When this stuff happens, know that summer is near. Because when summer comes, this is when the 17th of Tumas is. This is when the 9th of Av is. So this is the time. Listen, please listen. We don't have another year to say, maybe next year. If there was a place in Scripture that we could go to and say, well, there's another scripture that says if it's not 80, it could be 90. It doesn't exist. You understand? Or a generation is really 120. It doesn't exist. There's no other prophecy that we can go to, and there's no other timeline that lands perfectly with what Psalms 120 through 128 prophesies. Okay? Let's continue. Am I still here? Oh, yeah, that's the one thing that I'm supposed to tell you. Okay. So this, therefore, when the Jews say, they start crying, right? They say, we can't do it. We can't go in. God gets mad at them. I wanted to read to you what they said because they listened to the 10. They said, we should all just go back to Egypt. That's what they said. How dare them say that? They're like, we should just pick a leader and let everybody, God brought us out here to kill us. Let's all go, just get a leader and we'll all go back to Egypt and we'll be fine. So God became angry and they're all there and they're dead. They're crying the whole day because they can't go into the land because they believe the 10 and not the 2. Who are the 2 they didn't believe? Joshua, Jesus, and who was the other one? The Gentiles. Is that still happening today?
Yep.
They don't believe Jesus and they don't believe the Gentiles. Even though we're preaching that we can go into the land, we're preaching that God is able, right? So here we go. Now, so I'm going to get right to the spot where I need to be. Okay. Let's go to Micah first. Let's go to the book of Micah. Was the air conditioning get here, Pastor Dan? Okay. Now, in the book of Micah, Micah is a very, I wish, and this is why I try to teach Hebrew, because I want people to read in Hebrew, because I want you to see what Scripture says. Now, I will read this the way it's supposed to be read. It's supposed to be read in Hebrew, okay? And where is it? It says, Avad HaKesed. This is Micah chapter 7. I'm on the third page. I'm on page 3. And I'm at the chapter 2, but I'm going to read it from the page. It says, woe unto me, I am as when they gather summer fruit. Okay? I am as when they gather summer fruit. That's the word in Hebrew, ketz. You know how you say the end of time in Hebrew? Ketz. Do you know that? So summer fruit and the end of time is the same word in Hebrew. It's spelled a little different, but just pronounce it the same. Like, it would have to be under good context for you to know that I'm talking about not the end of time, it's just summer fruit, okay? Because it's the exact same word, ketz, okay? So, it says here, woe unto me, I am as one who gathers summer fruit, as the grapelings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desires the first, and it says the first ripe fruits. Then it says this, the saints, I'm telling you the true translation, the saints have vanished from the earth. That's what it says. It says, Avad HaKesed Min HaAretz. Okay? The Kesod people are what they call the holy people, the saints, okay? But it says the holy people have, and it doesn't use the word they left, because that would be Oved. The holy people left the land. It uses a word in Hebrew that says, like, avad means like to, like, a disappear, like you see a puff of smoke and then it disappears and now you don't see it. So it says the righteous people have avad from the land. They've disappeared. And then it says this. It says, I am one who gathers summer fruit at the gleaning of the vineyard. There's no cluster of grapes to eat. Then it says, none of the early figs that I crave. That's a proper translation. It says, the godly have vanished have been swept away from the land. Not one upright man remains. Okay? All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Okay? So now it's telling you the righteous people have disappeared. And when did they go looking for, what time of the year is God referring to right now that the righteous people have disappeared? Summertime, the early fruit. He says, I'm like one who wants to gather early fruit, but there's no clusters of grape to eat. None of the early figs that I craved. Because he's talking about Israel. He's saying Israel is still not ready. But he's letting you know this disappearance happens in the summertime. Okay? Now, he says this. He says, all men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept the bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them is like a briar, and the worst, and the most upright, worse than a thorn hedge, which are just symbols of Satan. It says, the day of your watchman has come. The day God visits you, now is the time of their confusion. So he says, now, in the summertime, the day of the watchman came. How do we know it's summer? We just read the other story. He says, oh, it's early summer. When you go over there, bring back some fruit. And when they came back, and it was the ninth of Av. So that was the summertime they sent them there. Okay? Now, he's saying here, I'm looking for the early fruits. But as I'm looking for the early fruits, and there's none there, I just noticed that all righteous men have vanished from the land. And not one upright person remains on the earth. Everybody's out to shed blood. If you keep reading, it'll say, now don't trust anybody. Don't trust your friend. Don't trust the neighbor. Don't trust the person that you go to bed with. Don't trust anybody, because the time of their confusion has come. Okay? But it places the event at the early fruit in the summertime. Okay? So now, what's the title of the 17th of Tammuz? The beginning of the end. They call it the fast of the beginning of the end. Why is it the beginning of the end? Because they know they messed up here, but the temple got destroyed here. When that temple, where the Western Wall stands behind, on the 17th of Tammuz, they came and sieged this city and broke the walls. And then 21 days later, they burned down the temple. So it starts here, and then the judgment comes here. Okay, so what judgments happen on both of those? Now, we're not talking about one temple. We're talking about both temples. It happens the same way with both temples. So now, Israel has two temples. They're standing. They're God's temples, because he's in the presence in the temple. Okay, they have two temples. God has a presence, a holy place inside of the temple. Now, does God have a temple standing right now? The body of Christ. So, if Israel's going to lose the third temple, who would they have to lose? The body of Christ. When? Judgment begins here and it ends there. So this is why I'm saying the 21 days are important, because both temples got destroyed, and in the summertime. He says, know that summer is near. Why is the word summer fruit and end times the same in Hebrew? Ketz and ketz is the same thing. So as we're trying to get people prepared, because I don't even know if the church believes us anymore, because we've been through so many rapture scenarios. Oh, God. And tomorrow we'll go through it, because tomorrow I plan on going through it, because we got to know what happened in 2010. You know what I mean? Then we got to know what happened in 2017. I wasn't with the 2012 thing. I wasn't with that. I was like 2010 or 2017, because that was the days that the years that God gave me. Okay, so, but we have to go through the scenario of how we got to where we're at. And now that we're here, and Psalms is telling you what's going to happen. Let's go to Psalms chapter 21. Okay. We'll go over that other stuff another time. But let's go to Psalms. Psalms 120. We're going to start at Psalms 120. Now listen to this, you guys. You know where the Dead Sea is? The Dead Sea is the lowest part on the earth. You can't get no lower than the Dead Sea. You understand? Or what they call the Salt Sea. I think the Arabs call it the Salt Sea. The Jews call it the Dead Sea, okay? When you go from Galilee, you have to go down and go all the way down to the lowest part of the earth to get to the Dead Sea. Then to go to Jerusalem, you know what you have to do? You have to now make a right and go up to Jerusalem. You understand? So, Christ is coming down for the purpose of going up, taking us up to the New Jerusalem. But he's got to come down before he takes us up. He came down, died on the cross. He came to the lowest part, and then now his main objective is to take us up. You understand? So, let me drink some water. In Psalm chapter 120, the Lord said, "You missed it. You really missed it. You're waiting for a worldwide tragedy, and the worldwide tragedy was right in front of you. Not just you, not just Long Beach, not just California. Nobody could get toilet paper. China, Africa. I'm like, why is everybody in the world, is that the first thing they're running for? It's like, it was crazy, okay? So we saw this judgment come upon the earth, and then now they're telling us we're all sick, and you're all gonna die, and we gotta close down everything, and if you had a business, too bad, we gotta close it down, and everything. And so this big lie goes out to the whole world, and everybody's in a panic, right? And it's not just in one country, or two countries, or three countries, or four countries, it's worldwide. Do you guys understand that? So, how is it that God told Noah in the 120th year judgment is going to come, and judgment came upon the whole world? And how is it that we come to the 120th year, so from the 1900s, we come to the 120th year and judgment comes upon the whole world? And he said, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. It's going to come upon the whole world. Now, when it starts raining, the craziest people are the ones that are going, oh my God, because they knew the prophecy, because they all laughed at Noah, right? They came back later, but they knew the prophecy. So when it started raining, they went, that's peculiar. Rain's coming out of the sky. And then they went, well, it should stop any day now. Then after a week, well, you know, I'm sure it can't get any worse, right? Then after about 3 weeks, they ran to the ark, and they said it had been raining for a few weeks when they went to the ark. You understand? They went to the ark and said, Noah, open the door for us. Let down a rope. Let us in. If the water's becoming unbearable. And he says, aren't you the same people that said there is no God? And then the water kept coming. And the water and the flood and the trouble didn't stop until when? Until about a year or something later, 150 days or so later. But the real trouble didn't stop until, because after the flood, what happened? Nimrod stood forth and said, I am going to be leader of the whole world. So after the flood, they got a worldwide leader that said, you're all going to stay here and worship me. So Nimrod became the first Antichrist. Even every Illuminati this day are looking for the return of Nimrod, because Nimrod was the first world Antichrist. So after the flood, and then after everything settled down, a man came forth named Nimrod and said, I'm going to be the world leader, and everybody's going to stay here, and everybody's going to do exactly what I say. And everybody was under the control of Nimrod, and he commanded them that we're going to build a tower, so if it ever rains again, we're going to go up to the stars, we're going to be able to see what the stars are telling us, and we'll never be flooded out again. And God said, if they continue, they'll be able to do this. So God said, let us go down and confuse what they're doing. So the trouble, real trouble, doesn't start until God comes down. Till Jesus comes back, you're not going to see an end of the trouble that we've already saw begin happening. And the beginning was a worldwide flood of trouble. The end of this is Jesus coming back. But that's only, those two examples are not the only examples of a summer harvest and a summer rapture. It's throughout the Bible. So when Jesus says, know that summer is near, he was serious. And so we have to understand the times and days we're living in. Tomorrow we're gonna go over Psalms, because Psalms 120, I don't think we have enough time right now, right?
Yeah, about 6 minutes.
About 6 minutes. Okay, let's go to first Psalms. Psalm chapter 21. 121. I mean, let's go to 120 first.
Psalms 120?
Yeah. Okay, so it starts out by saying, I called on the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. Okay? But first it says, the psalm of the ascent. Okay? What does it mean to ascend? To go up, right? Are there any psalms before 120 that are psalms of ascent? You got 120 of them. 1 through 120. You don't get to psalm of ascent until 120. So that means God knows something is happening in 2020. That's why Psalms 48 is the birth of Israel. That's why Psalms 47 is the UN deciding to give the land back to Israel. That's why Psalm 67 is God rescuing Israel, because it's the 67 war. So everything God is prophesying through the psalm. Now he says in 120, this is what we want him to deliver from. It says, save us from lying lips and deceitful tongues. Is that when the lie started in 2020? You know how Psalms 121 starts? Now, there are 15 psalms of ascent. They sing them as they go up to the temple to see God. There's 15 psalms of ascent. Only one says the psalm to ascend. That means this psalm is the beginning of the ascent. This is now we're going up. The rest of the 14 say the psalm of the ascent, the psalm of the ascent, the psalm of the ascent. 15 of them, well, 14 of them. Then only one says in Hebrew, the psalm le ma'alot, which means to ascend. So this is the psalm that it happens. This is the movement. This is the verb in it, okay? So why is there only one psalm that says the psalm to ascend? And why is it 7 years before 2028? And why is it 4 years into, let's go to Psalms 124. Well, Psalms 122 says that the temple gets rebuilt. We know that's coming, but it's not going to be God's temple. That's a really bad psalm, too. If you read Psalms 122 in Hebrew, it's like the Jews have decided to do something without God's consent. It's like God calls it their temple. He doesn't say my temple. He says, go walk around your temple. Go walk around your city, right? Because they're the ones that are going to demand peace, and they're the ones that are going to demand the Antichrist to build them a temple. So in Psalms 22, God is saying, oh, go ahead and walk around your temple. In the Hebrew, it's so beautiful, because he's telling them, it's saying, mine, this is your idea. But he says, nevertheless, I'm going to save you out of it. Even though you're wrong for what you're doing, I'm going to save you out of it. Psalms 124 says this in verse 4. The flood would have engulfed us, the torrent would have swept over us, the raging water would have swept us away. Praise be the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird. So a flood of water goes out against the nation of Israel in the middle of the tribulation. Isn't that what Daniel says? Satan is going to spew out a flood of water, and war will continue to the end, but God's going to save it. Isn't Revelation chapter 12 says the same thing, that Satan's going to spew out a flood of water against Israel in the middle of the tribulation? And then Psalms 124, the middle of the tribulation, it says the exact same thing. So we go, this is coincidence, but the beautiful thing is you don't have long to wait. Because there's no more. Well, we still have the last generation prophecy. Well, we still have this prophecy. Well, we still have, no, you're running out of days. Okay? That's the problem. We've run out of days, or we're running out of days. And so why God would put this all in 121 is proper to me, because he's trying to tell you, and why he would mention summer. And then in the book of Amos is what we'll read tomorrow. He says, Amos, to the prophet, he says, what do you see? He says, I see summer fruit. What's that? Kids. He says, you're right, because Ketz is coming upon my people. He says, I see summer fruit. He says, yeah, you're right, because the end is coming upon your people. So he uses the same word, even in Amos, telling them this summer fruit is about the end of time. Jesus says, know that it is, that summer is near. When you see all these things happen, know that summer is near. What's summer? Ketz. What's Ketz? End. So my message to the body of Christ is this. It's been a long journey, and we'll look at our journey tomorrow, because I think it's necessary to look at it. Because it's not like we've been a bunch of nuts waking up like, oh, we ate donuts last night, and then we saw the rapture, and the Bible doesn't say it, but we just thought we had a bad dream. But we haven't done that, right? We've been following. We've done what the scripture called being a watcher, right? We're watching the times and the seasons. We're watching what's going on in the world. In 2017, we were watching what was going on. We saw the eclipse and the new moons and all the things that were going on in the world. So what we are is what Micah calls us, watchmen. But he says the day of the watchmen is coming, and that day will be their confusion. Because we're all watching for one thing. The hope of glory, the rapture of the church. So stay tuned, and we'll talk about it tomorrow, and we'll go through the scenario, and you'll see exactly where we're at. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.